Welcome to this time of worship. We pray that you are well, and we are so honored that you are watching with us today. Now let us still our hearts and our minds and make room for what God has for us this day.
Been stacking up the years I spent trading punches with the enemy. Ooh, built myself a double thick stone tower, lies higher than the eye could see. Trapped in my flesh and bone, crying out to you, Lord, I'm desperate. Love, come rattle this cage and set me free. And all of my fears, Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. Oh Lord, my prison turns to ruin when your love moves in on the mighty prison. Jericho walls gotta come down, come down, come down. Oh, truth was crashing through the pride and the blame, cutting straight through the heart of me. Carved in your flesh and bone, the wounds that have saved my soul is forgiven. Oh, now I can feel the darkness trembling in all my tears. Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. All of my fears, Jericho. Build me from the ground up. All I wanna see is you. Tear by the lies we trust. And all of my fears, like Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. All my fears, like Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. Oh Lord, my prison turns to ruin. Let the love moves in all of my fears, like Jericho.
We now invite you to join with us in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, our scripture lesson today comes from the first chapter of Mark, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed with an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently, and he came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Well, the other day I was walking through Panther Creek State Park when I heard someone crying and screaming, and I could tell this person was a long way away from me. And I heard these troubling sounds rumbling through the park for a long time, and I finally saw what was going on when I crossed onto a different trail. The person that I'd been hearing turned out to be a young man that we might describe as having special needs. And when I saw him, I saw that he kept hitting himself on the head and he was getting more and more upset, and the other adults with him were doing everything in their power to help keep him calm and were mostly, though, just trying to ignore his outbursts. I have a feeling they'd seen this many times before. Well, one of the things I realized about myself is I don't have the kind of patience to deal with situations like that because it was really upsetting to me. But still, I felt like I needed to do something. But what could I do? The people with him obviously didn't have a magical cure, or else I'm sure they would have tried it. And I marveled at their patience. How did they keep their cool? It gave me a new appreciation for what some families are dealing with every day. It also made me give thanks for a gift of a calm spirit that they obviously have developed over many years. I bet if I asked them before this young man came into their lives if they could have handled such a big challenge, they probably would have said, "Well, I don't think I could do it." But somehow, over time, God has equipped them with the gift of patience that I just don't have right now. Still, I wanted to go over them to help them, but I was afraid that if I interjected myself into that situation, I might just make things worse, so I kept my distance. And I prayed. I prayed for the young man, I prayed for his family, but have you ever walked away from a situation wondering if your prayers were really enough? Well, I gave Lori Hotel a call, and she has a wonderful special needs child. And if there is a child that I know with a pure spirit, it is that child. But Lori has two other children who were born into their family who are pure in spirit. And then they have invited two other children in their family whose spirits are also pure. And they have all become precious to our congregation and to each of us. And I want all of them to feel loved and accepted. And so I asked Lori, "What should I have done in that situation that I saw at the park?" And she said, "Well, you could have asked, is there anything that I can do to help?" And I started thinking that instead of criticizing or judging, offering to help sounds a lot more constructive. But are you like me, that you find yourself hesitating to help because you don't want to say something stupid? We don't want to overstep our bounds, so a lot of times we don't do anything. And we tend to keep challenging people at arm's length. As we were talking, she mentioned how her family hesitated going to any church for years because they were afraid of the judgment that they might receive. And they wondered, would people feel like she and Dave were doing something wrong? Would they criticize how they handled things? And I think her fear spoke to a criticism that could be leveled at most churches, wondering, do we want everything so pristine and perfect that we can't accept anything that is different? I remember a church that I oversaw in the Johnson City district that was this tiny little church that was out in the country. And I'd asked about this church, and from what I understood, a few years prior to me being there, there were no children darkening the doors of that church. But a few women began bringing some of their grandchildren and then some of their neighbors' grandchildren. And they brought them to worship. They created Sunday school classes for them. They took those rambunctious and crazy kids on campouts and to resurrection. And I found out that most of those children had parents who were incarcerated because of opioid addiction. And those children certainly were not church broken. They were loud. They asked questions in the middle of the service. They wanted to be scripture readers even when they could barely read. They wanted to take up the offering. And I can remember wondering, are they going to put some of the money into their pockets? I mean, worship services there were chaos. But they were also beautiful. And that church made a conscious decision to welcome children who wouldn't fit into any other church. That congregation got used to the chaos. They found their niche and they found their ministry. I think about my time here and I realize that I've gotten used to the sounds of children again. I've gotten used to people getting up and leaving during the service if they need to. I found that I can get used to the sounds of life in worship. You all have broken me in. And one of the things that jumped off the page as I was reading this scripture lesson was that Jesus was in the middle of teaching in the synagogue when all of a sudden a man who was possessed with an impure spirit cries out in the middle of worship, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." I started thinking about what my reaction would have been. And in these days of church shooting and security concerns, I have literally gotten a little gun shy. How would I have handled a situation where a man with an impure spirit started crying out in worship? And I'll have to be honest that I've appreciated people who have training in emergency management and law enforcement. So I've just had to turn that concern over to others who are more gifted. And there are a lot of times that I wish I had the same spirit of discernment that Jesus had. I wish I had the same authority that Jesus did. But alas, I'm going to have to rely on the ministry and the spiritual gifts of our whole congregation. Well, in our story, the impure spirits asked if Jesus came to destroy them. And Jesus immediately took command. He ordered the spirits to be quiet and to leave. And it was a sign that not only was Jesus a teacher, he also possessed supernatural power. In fact, this was the first miracle that was mentioned in Mark's gospel. The first miracle wasn't making bread or it wasn't turning water into wine. Jesus' first miracle challenged the spiritual forces of darkness. But in the middle of all that chaos, Jesus never asked the man to leave. I wondered about that. Jesus must have felt that this man was worth saving. This man was worth loving. And I know that I've been guilty of this myself, of cutting people out of my life who I feel may be more trouble than they're worth. I think right now we are living in a time of cancel culture where if you don't like to hear what somebody is saying to you, you cut them out of your life. And Jesus was a master at finding ways to bring people into fellowship. And looking at Jesus in this story, he had the power over unclean spirits. And I know that I wasn't gifted with the same power as Jesus was. I'm not as spiritually discerning as he was. But thank the Lord that we have people in our congregation who have been given a lot of different gifts, like the gift of healing. And the gift of teaching, and the gift of counseling. And in our congregation, we got a lot of people whose inner turmoil comes from having lost control of their finances. And we've got people in our church who are gifted at putting other people's financial houses in order. And maybe I'm most grateful today that we have got people who seem to have an infinite capacity for patience. And some of those people were born with it. And some of those people have developed their patience through life experiences. But one of the things that we recognize out of this story was that Jesus came into the synagogue. And it was while he was in the synagogue teaching that this man with an unclean spirit came in. I think it's inspiring that that man with an unclean spirit came in looking for Jesus. He came in looking for a church. The man wanted to be healed. He believed that the church and Jesus was where he could find what he needed. And I hope that we never lose our passion to help people who are dealing with the most difficult problems that we can imagine. And just outside our doors, there are people with mental health issues, addiction issues, depression, fear, physical handicap, and illness. And there are always people who hope that the church could love them. Will our church be viewed as a place filled with people who want to help? My prayer is that our church would be the first stop for people who are seeking hope. And with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the body of Christ, our church, I pray that God uses us to drive out the darkness and that we are never too afraid to ask, "How can I help?"
What if we could love the way Jesus did? Passionately, faithfully, powerfully. What if the way we love could make a difference in the world around us? What if that love looked at everyone the way God does? A love which doesn't see the past, but is consumed by a desire to see people come to know Jesus. Love which is patient and kind, not envious or prideful. A love which puts others before ourselves, chooses peace over anger. A love which protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Do we love like this? Do we love like Jesus? Maybe it's time to ask a simple question. How can we love better?
We wanted to lift up a few names for you to be in prayer for this week. Please continue to pray for Ronnie Malloy as she's recovering from surgery. Those who are recovering from COVID, including Donna Ahrens and Bev and Tom Moon. Lindsay Smith has been in the hospital. Katie Close has also been in the hospital, along with Joanne Weir, who's in rehab. Ben Stapleton's parents have been dealing with pneumonia. Mitch Robinson is in CCU. John Mansfield had eye surgery. And then Allison Horner's sister, Melanie Sandlin, continues to undergo treatments for cancer. And then Lloyd Connery is in the hospital with pneumonia. We did want to lift up a congratulations to Tom Strait for the recent recognition of his community service. And it was so special to see Emily Stubblefield and Ainsley Moreau on screen during the Holston Annual Conference's live stream resurrection event last Saturday evening. So now let us go to God in prayer. Speak with authority in our lives, O Christ. Speak to us. Speak to us with love and hope and with strength so that we might hear you and know how deep inside that we are your people and that you are our God. Let it be so. Help us to help those who are suffering in body, in mind, or in spirit. Help us to help those who are helping others. Help us, O God, to love one another well. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We go out into the world this week. My prayer for you is that wherever you see opportunities, that you will stop and ask, how can I help? God bless you in all that you do and everywhere you go. Amen.